Well, good morning. I always enjoy connecting with Mike and Tammy, and I remember the first time I met them, it was during COVID, actually. We were on a strict lockdown, if you were around during that time, and they submitted a form online. I believe we were just doing services online. And then I reached out because I was reaching out to all the new people that were connecting with us to connect them with the gift, get to know them and stuff like that. They were looking to join a church. And it was great because it was a summertime. I believe it was actually still a lockdown. I remember sitting on my scooter and driving to their house to drop off Pastor Ken's book. And I remember talking to Mike afterwards. He was sort of thrown off by that because he wasn't expecting a pastor rolling in with a scooter and a book in my hands to meet them, deliver the gift, you know, tell them nice to meet them. You know, I'm from the church, and but that always stayed with them because we talked afterwards. And one of the things that he would mention, like what kind of stood out from this, just the church in general when they were looking to join, so that was really a commitment. You know, sit on a scooter, come and during the lockdown to make a point to come and introduce myself. So that was good. And then I remember afterwards we actually met with them. They wanted to meet with Pastor Ken and myself. And they actually, the first meeting we had with them, they told us right away that they want to join our church, but their goal is to go to missions. And this is what they're hoping to do, this is what they want to do, and they want the support of the church and leaders. And I remember even leaving that conversation that one evening when we met with them. And on the drive back home, I was thinking, wow, what a remarkable young couple, really has a call, and they said they're going to do something. But I did have a question, because I've had a lot of people say things that they will do, and they have not followed through. So I had a question, are they really going to go to the missions? Is that something just talk, you know, they want to go? And, you know, you always had the other side where you're thinking about things. But they actually did. Last year, we blessed them. They went. They've been there for, I believe, was it a year? And it's just incredible when you see someone say something and then actually do something about it. You know, when you actually say something and you follow through, there is power when we actually not only speak, but when we actually do something in our action. And that's where I want to talk about this morning. We talked a lot about the words over the past few weeks. And I want to speak on the topic of louder than words. Now, you might have heard the saying before. What is louder than words?
Actions
are louder than words. So actions speak louder than words. Have you ever heard of that? Have you ever heard of the saying, I cannot hear what you're saying because your actions are actually too loud, speaking way too loud than your words. I can't hear what you're saying. I just see what you're doing, and that's all. That's what I'm seeing. So actions speak louder than words. And in this area of our words and how they're powerful and how we talked about different things, how our words have to mean something, how we have to speak positive, how we have to use our words to sow those seeds and just use our mouth to be a blessing and to speak life. On that point, when someone asks the question, well, you're a Christian, right? Well, prove to me that you're a Christian. How are you going to prove to someone that you're a Christian? Obviously, it's going to be by your actions and how you live. There's this term that we have in our society, authentic Christian. And those types of people are usually people that talk, but not only talk, but also walk the talk. They actually say things, they say they're Christians, but actually also living out their life Christian. And you can easily tell if someone is a Christian, and they ask Jesus this question, like, how are you going to distinguish who's Christian and who's not? And Jesus answered, and he said, well, you will know them by their fruit, which means, you know, they can talk about all these things, they can teach, they can say all these things, but really, it's how they live their life that actually matters. So words are very important, but actions are more important. And that's how I came with this topic, but also a saying that was in the scripture there was a story in Matthew 25, talks about three servants, and a master was going away, and he gave the talents to the servants. And you probably heard the story before. One got five, one got three, one got one. And then they were supposed to do something with this. And then he went back, came back to them. And then two out of three did something. And one that was supposed to do something, he was too afraid. And he buried his talent in the ground, came back with no return. And then master was upset. And he said, that's not the way it's supposed to be done. Get rid of this servant. But to the other two, he said something that resonates really well. And I believe this is something that we're going to hear one day, hopefully, when we come to meet our Lord Jesus and Savior. But this is what he said to the other two, because they did something. He said, well done, Matthew. I'm going to read the scripture here. Matthew 25:21, it says, master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And then this thought came to my mind, which is sort of like the big idea of this message, is well done is more valuable than well said. I'll say that one more time. Well done is more valuable than well said. Now, you might have been a part of conversations with people, and I've been a part of a lot of conversations where people say, that is a great thought. You know, that's a great, what you know, might have been talking to someone and they say, I'm going to do this. And you say, wow, that's really cool. Or they said something really well. They crafted a sentence. Great speakers, you know, people, preachers, talk, whatever, you know, they're just communicators. And then you look at them and say, wow, that was well said. That was really well put together. You know, like, I try to communicate well Sundays on here on the stage, off the stage, and really get my point across, you know, and then people will say, well, that was really good. What you said there really is good. But really, what's valuable than just the talk is the action, is actually doing something. And I'll remind myself again, remind you, because I do this all the time when I speak on Sundays, I usually speak to myself first. So this message is actually for myself, and I hope you learn something from it. And I hope that God speaks to you through his word. Because it's important for us to say things and talk about things and you know, commitment, follow through, when we want to see results, when we know whether people are trustworthy, when we want to know if people have a good character, usually words align with actions. And even some of the greatest leaders have put actions to their words, and that's why they were called great, because they have done what they were talking about. And the scripture that comes to my mind is Hebrews 11. If you read that scripture, it talks a lot about faith and how these great men and women of God have done something with their faith, and they have become great. It wasn't just Abraham saying, you know, receiving a commandment from the Lord to do something, to go out of his land, to take a step of faith and go into the unknown. He actually went into the unknown, and he actually did something. Moses, Noah, and all the greats in Hebrews 11, when you read about them, it was what they did that counted, and that's why they were great. It wasn't just a theory. It was actually something that they did. So, question that I have for myself and yourself this morning is simply this. Do your words align with your deeds? Does your speech align with your actions? In my case, people that know me are close to my heart, that know me really well, I will say it and I will confess it. Most of the time, they do not. And that, I think, is a problem that not only myself have, but all of us are struggling with. Because sometimes we have good intentions. We say the right things, but we don't actually do them. Now, this is a mystery that I think if we knew how this all worked out, if we would be way better off as community, as in relationships, and just in general in life, if we always did what we say and always actually follow through with what we promised. And that's why we have this term that comes around a lot, empty promises. You know, there's a story about a dad that he was a businessman. He did really well in business, and he always tried to please his clients. He was always there for his clients. Clients would say something, and he would just follow through on them, he would deliver, and he kept the clients for a long haul. He was a successful businessman. But then he would come home, and then he would talk to his family. He had children, and he would just keep saying things that he would like to do with them, but he would never follow through with the things that he was saying. He would say, you know, I would love to take you guys out to the park and have a picnic with you guys. He never did it. You know, I want to go to the beach and do certain things with my kids. I want to have board night game. We're just going to hang out with the kids and do something with them and just connect. It never happened. And then one of the kids, a daughter, was very smart. And she said, okay, Daddy, I'm going to make a tree. I'm going to call it a memory tree. I'm call it a promise tree. And then every time you make a promise, we're going to put a little tag. I'm going to put it right on this tree. And it's going to be a reminder for you that you've made all these promises. And if this tree blossoms, that means that you're not following through. You're not being a good dad. And he said, okay, that's fine. So the tree over the weeks was getting lots of fruit. Lots of tags were being put on. A lot of things that Daddy has saying, but was not following through. To one point, Dad came home and he realized he came to a tree to check, obviously, how bad he was doing. But then he looked at one of them and he said, there was one of them that said, spend quality time with my daughter. Spend a day with my daughter. And then that really hit him. And he really decided from that point on that he's going to. And then he decided from that point on to start fulfilling every single tag and promise that was written on the tree. As the time went by, the tree was getting smaller and smaller when it comes to the promises. And it became a barren tree at the end of the day. And that was a lesson for a dad to actually follow through on his promises. Now, I wish I can say that I've followed through on every promise that I've made to my family, my children. I have not, but I want to do better at it, and I want to become better at it. So, when people look at you, do you want them to believe you? It's actions and the deeds what actually makes it believable to people. When we follow through on things that we promise. So now moving on to speaking louder than words, talk louder than words. I have always been proud of the things that I've accomplished, but there's a lot of things that I have said I was going to accomplish and I did not accomplish. And one of the big things that I just came to my mind when I was preparing this message, one of the things that I've said to myself, I'm gonna do this for sure, never done, is I'm going to record a worship CD one day, and it's gonna be amazing. All these songs, and I've written even songs, but I have never, I even remember just recently talking to some of the worship team members, Marco, and, you know, we gotta do this worship CD, like this is going to be a blessing. I have not done a single thing about it. And the reason I'm saying this to you is because you can keep me accountable to actually follow through on my promise. But there's a lot of things in life that we have said we're going to do, but we haven't done. Words, actions. Words, actions. So well done is going to be more valuable than what was said, and let's focus on that for a little bit here. I want to talk a little bit from the book of James, which we've used for the tongue, messages on tongues, but also he was talking about he had a situation. There was believers that were suffering, widows, people that didn't have enough food, and then he was talking about how can you be a Christian? How can you even say you're a Christian? You see the need, but you're actually not doing what you're supposed to do. You're not helping the believers. And that's the whole premise of this book. It's not so much that the premise of it is, when he talks about this, is the faith without works is dead. And that when it comes to our faith, we can say we're Christians, but if we don't live it out, we're not really Christians. If we don't do what we're said, if we're not doing the commandments that have been given to us in the scripture. So I want to read this scripture, go through this, James 1, 19 through 27, and give you three simple steps of how to walk the talk. How do we do this? How do we become doers? And let's just read this really quick. James 1, 19 through 27 says this, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath," slow to anger. "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." And here's our key verse, "But be the doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is hearer of the word and not doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And if anyone among you thinks that he's religious, does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans, widows in trouble, to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So now he talks about the issue that they were dealing with at that time. And he focuses how these people were just the talkers, you know. They're just talking, we got to help these people, and we got to do this, and we got to do that. They were just talkers, but their religion, it wasn't showing in their deeds. They said all these things, but they actually didn't live it out. And then he talks about what the need was at that time. It was, you know, to visit, to help the orphans, the trouble. I mean, that same need we have today as well. And that's what we as a church are supposed to do. Part of the mission that Mike and Tammy are a part of in Thailand is going to be to help with that, getting the kids off the street and helping them in their trouble. So what are the three things that we are that I pulled out from the scripture that will help us actually become doers? And here's number one. Thing number one is listen. Verse 19, it says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Another translation, to listen. Slow to speak, slow to anger, but listen. With every woman, let every believer, first inclination that we are to have as believers is to listen, to hear God and to hear people. What is God speaking to me now? See, great listening precedes great deeds and great accomplishments. That means that we won't know what we are to do if we haven't listened well. Now, this can be applied a lot in relationship and the kids and adults. When you're trying to say something and then they don't do it, it's like they haven't really understood what is supposed to be done. They haven't listened well. I have this problem a lot. So listen closely. And if we only learn how to listen well, if I only learn how to listen well, I will be far more successful and better in life and better in my pursuit of what God wants me to do than ever before if I was listening to what is being spoken to me. So our posture, I know our natural posture is to always speak. And I know there's a lot of people that are not talkers, they don't speak a lot, but they think a lot. They say the ones that are the quiet ones are the most dangerous ones. I don't know if that's even true. I don't think it's true. But a lot of people, you know, thinkers, they have things to say, they don't want to say them. And sometimes there's wisdom in not saying things, but our posture should always be to listen first, to hear what is being said in this particular case in relationships with people, but also in our relationship with God. Is our posture really to listen, or are we just the talkers and just, I'm just going to pray this prayer, I'm just going to say this, I'm going to do this, I'm just going to talk, and not actually hear what is being said? We have to learn how to listen well. And we have this saying in the church, the anointed preaching, anointed talk. You know, I've been a part of a lot of great sermons. Pastor Ken shares a lot of good messages. Anointed speaking. And when I speak, I pray, God, please, may these words be anointed. Because there's power when we speak the anointed words. But have we ever considered anointed listening? And how powerful it would be that we actually gain a habit of actually telling ourselves, now I want to spend time, and God, anoint my ears so that I would be able to hear what you're saying to me. Through this person, through this situation, through the word, anoint me. I want to be able to hear. So that should be our disposition. That should be our main thing. To pursue that. In Proverbs 10:11, it says this: when there are many words, Transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. You see, those people don't talk much, they're wise. Proverbs 14:29, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quickly tempered exalts folly. So, most importantly, obviously, in this life, when we give our life to Christ, we are to listen to God. That's the first relationship that matters the most. We are to listen to God, and we must prepare ourselves to hear God. He says here, you have to take off all the filthiness and all the things that are pulling us back, and we have to come with humility. In order to actually listen well, we have to be humble. And it goes right against the grain of who we are, because we all have it deep down in our flesh something to deal with, and it's called pride. Pride is what is always going to get us away from the purposes of God and get us away from the relationship that we're supposed to be in, because we don't have a willingness to humble ourselves. So humility comes before listening. So we have to be humble to be able to hear. It takes a huge amount of humility, actually, to sit down and listen to what is being said to us. So we don't want to be Christians that are deceived because we haven't listened well. And we were just talking too much. And we thought we knew the best, and we're going to say the best things, say the right things at the right time. It's all that matters. No, we need to be the Christians that will listen well. Which moves us to the second thing: when we listen well, when we hear, when we go to the Word of God and we read the Word of God, and it talks about this second thing here, and that is to consider. Now, it uses an example here that we just read about the mirror, verses 23 and 25. And I know we all have a mirror. Aren't you grateful that you have a mirror in your house? Now imagine if you did not have a mirror in your house. How would your life be if you never knew how you looked? How would you reflect? How would you put some effort into your hair and makeup and that kind of stuff, you know. But those things we wouldn't even think about if we didn't have a mirror, right? I am thankful for the mirrors. I don't know when they came about. I should have researched this topic. But it's really fascinating when you think about it. Now, our ancestors probably have, I know they've always had a reflection on the water if the water is calm. They come to a calm, still water, and then you're able to see yourself. But imagine if there was no mirrors. Now, the Bible talks about the Word of God being the mirror. And he talks about how important it is for us to look at the mirror. And actually, you know, we read about all these things, and we learn about all these things, and we know all these things, and we have so much knowledge about what we're supposed to do, but then we walk away and we don't do it. And he says, a man who doesn't consider, he doesn't examine, he doesn't look deep down, doesn't consider what he is to change, he just walks away from the mirror looking the same. Now, you probably, the first thing that you do in the morning, if you have a mirror, you usually go to your mirror and you look at the mirror and you look at your face and you look at yourself and say, okay, what are the things on my face that I should take note of? If I was drooling in the middle of the night, which happens sometimes, you have something on your face, right? And it's not pretty. Now, it has happened, unfortunately, that in the past, when I was younger, that I would leave the house without looking in the mirror and I had stuff on my face. And we encourage and we teach our kids to do the same. Look at the mirror, see if there's things there, wash your face, and that type of stuff. We do these things out of our natural, it's what we do as humans. But imagine if we were to consider and we would listen what God is speaking through people, or God is speaking through us personally, and we actually consider and say, okay, how does this speak to me right now? How does this apply to me right now in this situation? What is God trying to tell me right now? Okay, I'm not reading the scripture just to read it so that I can tell everybody that I read the Bible, but I'm actually reading the Bible and I'm actually considering and asking myself a question: what is this speaking to me right now for the situation that I'm in right now? What is God trying to tell me? 2 Timothy 2:15 says this: do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. So for us to correctly handle the word of truth, which is the mirror, we are to consider, we are to take into account what are the things that we need to work on to consider to do better, to be better Christians, to accomplish the will that God has for our life. There's a story about people that were building a tower in the scripture, and Jesus tells this parable. It talks about how they counted the cost of what was to be done, and some of them were not wise. They didn't count the cost, and they ended up perishing. The question to ask yourself, when you're stuck, when you're in a rut, when you're going through a hard time, a relationship, or you're just confused about what God's will for your life is, the question to ask is, what is God speaking to me? Am I considering this option? Am I considering? Sometimes we need to go outside of our what we have going on, go to a counselor, go to a spiritual leader, go to the scripture, and try to see what is God telling us to do. And if we don't consider, we won't grow. If we don't consider, we won't get anywhere. We'll be stuck. And then we'll be going in circles and asking, why? Why am I not, why is this happening to me? Why am I stuck? Why can't I fix this relationship? You know, I've tried everything. Well, I always ask a question. Well, have you considered this? And oftentimes, people that have pride, they may say, yes, I have, but I don't really want to do that. Which leads me to the third point I want to share with you, which is do. So it's like an LCD. Listen, consider, and actually do it. Now, a lot of people stop at the consider. They listen well. They hear well. They consider what needs to be done, how things are going to flow. They even make the steps, and they have a plan of how things are going to flow, but they don't actually go and do it. Like in a example with Mike and Tammy, they've considered the count of the cost. They had to sell their house. They had to do all these things. All of these things had to take place. They had to learn the language. That is a hard thing to do. But they have accounted that to what they were, when they were making this plan, saying, this is what it's going to take. We're counting the cost. We're actually going to go ahead and do this. So this is where everything changes. Sometimes when people say, I don't know what am I to do next. I don't know what my next step is. And there's a story on, I don't know what book that was. I read a book a long time ago about the horse and a boy. You might have heard this story. But horse and a boy were walking down, and it got pitch dark, and the horse stopped. He knew he wasn't going to go any longer. And the horse asked the boy, so what are we going to do next? And the boy replied, just take the next step. Just one step at a time. Whatever is that next step, just take one step at a time, one step at a time, and eventually you're going to arrive somewhere. Yes. So, well done, my good and faithful servant. At the end of the day, I heard this talk once as well, and somebody was trying to inspire the people that were, you know, they want to do something with their life, they want to accomplish, start a big business, whatever, you know. And the whole speech was simply just around four words. And this guy said to these guys, he came on the stage, he shared a speech, and he left. And he told it was one of the most inspirational speeches ever. He came up and he said, you are going to die. And he left the stage. Now there was some depth there. These people were thinking like, what is he trying to tell us? But he was trying to inspire them to action and say, hey, you only have a limited time here. So you might as well just do whatever you want to do. Because you don't want to come at the end of your life and say, well, I should have, I could have, I would have done something. No, you want to come to the end of your life and say, no, I've done something. So Matthew 21 has a story of two sons. And sometimes when I read the scripture, this story just kind of like washes off. And, you know, you read something. But it really goes along with here what we're trying to say and the point that I'm trying to make. The parable of two sons. Let's just read it really quick. Matthew 21, 28 and 30. And I'm about to finish with this. It says this: there was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and he said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." He said, "I will not." But later he changed his mind and he went. He actually did some work in the vineyard. And then the father went to the other son and he said the same thing. And this boy answered, "I will, sir." But he did not go. And then Jesus asked the question, "So which one of these sons has done the will of the father?" Matthew 21, 28 to 30. And obviously the Jews and Pharisees that were there, they asked, it was the one that actually, he was actually the one that said that he wasn't going to do it, but then he actually went and did it. And the first one that said, "Yeah, I'm going to do it. Yeah, I'm up for it. I'm going for it. Don't worry, I'm going to do it. You know, just count on me. I'll be the one." Don't even ask the other son. Well, thankfully, he did ask the other son. The work would not have been done. But we realized that the first one was just a talker. He was just a talker. He didn't live it out. He didn't do the will of the Father. So just like this story represents, action matters. Doing something matters. Obedience matters. Sometimes even we know what we're to do and we don't do it, that also is not good. We are to listen, to be the doers. We are to listen, consider, and do. In this example, we talked about visiting orphans, widows, keeping yourself unspotted from the world, which in itself is a huge part being a Christian. Separating yourself from the world, the worldly things, the culture, and everything that goes against the grain of what we believe and what we preach. But some of the things that I've put in here just for us that we can relate with is maybe doing things that really matter. Committing to spiritual practice, donating income and resources to people that are in need, showing up to fellowship, loving the neighbors, changing our bad habits and replacing them with new habits, serving the less fortunate, evangelism, sharing our faith and values through not only our words but actions as well. See, God has something for every one of us to do while we still have breath in our lungs. And Jesus has mentioned this in John 13:5 as he was teaching his disciples his lesson. He said this, after he washed their feet, he showed them what it's about to be a servant. He was a servant leader. He wasn't just talking how you should go and wash the feet, but he actually did it. And those are the most powerful leaders, people that actually speak the truth, say the things, but they actually go and do them. And Jesus demonstrated this to them. And he told them this afterwards. He said, "I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." And verse 16 says this, "Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger is greater than the one who sent him." And then verse 17, and I'm going to end it with this, says this, "Now that you know these things." Now, we know a lot of things. We know a lot. He says, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." You are going to be blessed if you do them. Not if you talk about them. Not if you discuss about them. Not if you share, you know, we're going to there together and we're just going to talk about what we're going to do and what I want to, and the dream, desires that God has put in my heart and what I want to accomplish in my life and what I want to do for the kingdom. The kingdom of God is built through actions, not through words. The greatest that have ever lived, the greatest that have ever lived even in the scripture are the people that have actually, they talked about things, but they have done things for God. And at the end of the day, when we're gone, I believe that people will remember more our actions than our words. You know, people that are close to my heart that I've lost over the time, use an example of my dad. He was a lot of great things that come to my mind, things that he was telling me and teaching me. And there was a lot of times, you know, when he would say things, but he wouldn't follow through. But that inspires me that I want to be, because nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. I want to say things, I want to do things. And there's a lot of great things that my dad has taught me, but there's a lot of great things that my dad has also done that actually have made an impact, not only in my life, but in the lives of a lot of people. So you may look at your life and you have people in your life that actually, you know, they've talked about things, they've said things, but they have also done things that have impacted you at a deeper level. It is not about the knowledge. It's not about how well we know things, how great we study, and how, you know, those all things are good, but it is actually when we take action, when we actually do something. And the application that I have for you this morning, very simply, in a question that I ask myself, and I would like to ask myself every single day, and want you to ask yourself today and for a long haul. God, what do you want me to do next? God, what do you want me to do next? What's my next step? It may be a baptism. We talked about that. 2 weeks from now, we're going to have a Serve Sunday. We're going to inspire and encourage everybody to serve, because Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served. And he showed us that in the scripture. So you may be sitting here and say, okay, what's my next step? What am I to do next? Where's God leading me next? And when you ask yourself that question, if you're really honest and sincere, God is going to speak to you what that is. Yes. Now, it's really hard to commit and say that you're going to do something and you have a leading, like you're going to do something, but not have someone there encourage you to actually do it. And the second step along, when you ask this question, what is that God wants you to do next, whatever the next step is the second question would be this: who is it in my life that can keep me accountable to actually do what I say that I'm going to do, or that God wants me to do and accomplish? Do you have someone? Usually it will be someone that you trust, someone that you love, someone that's in your close circle that can actually keep you accountable, that what you're saying, you're actually doing and following through. It's going to be really hard to live this life alone without having people in our life encouraging us, pushing us to be the best version of ourselves, and telling us, okay, you want to do this, then do it. What have you done? What's the first step? What's the second step? Okay, you did the second step. Okay, what's the third step? That is how we can accomplish great things for God. And that is how we can be effective and not just talkers, and not just having all these great words, because at the end of the day, it's going to be well done, not well said. So what is it that, God, what is it that you want me to do? Not what you want me to say. What is it that you want me to talk about? What is it that you want me to do? Let's all stand this morning. I want to bless you this morning. I want to encourage you. And as much as this message was for me, I believe that God spoke to you this morning, and there may be things in your mind that have just come right now as I was speaking that you are thinking about, or maybe you've been thinking for a long time, something that God wants, you know, has prompted you, you want to do something, but you never really did it. Well, this may be a day when you actually make a decision in your heart, say, you know what, I'm going to do that, I'm going to find someone to keep me accountable, and I'm going to accomplish what God wants me to accomplish. I want to pray for you this morning. If you want to be included in this prayer, just raise your hand. God sees your heart. That's all that matters. And let us be the doers of the word, not just the talkers. So Father God, this morning, I pray that this word would live, go deep in our hearts, deep in our hearts. That we would wake up every morning, just like we go to a physical mirror, that we would go to a spiritual mirror and say, God, what is it that you're telling us? What should we consider? What is the next step that you have for us in our journey? And may we be the doers, not just the talkers. May we accomplish great things for you, God. We don't want to be just the talkers. We want to be effective. We want to be the doers. So remind us, God. Remind us that the blessing comes as we do things, as we take the steps of faith. May we be the ones that will walk and live in faith and through faith, trusting you, God, every step of the way, that your Holy Spirit would just give us the courage to do what you're calling us to do. We pray these things in your name, and we thank you, Jesus, for being gracious enough, for being forgiving enough, and giving us another chance. So we give you our life, we give you all that we are, and we say, Jesus, have your way. May your will, your purposes be done in our lives as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.